want to explain to those of you that have not been with us the past four Sundays, what we've been doing is we've been working through the combination of the Christmas story, tying it to a movie entitled The Wizard of Oz. When I've been here 16 years, and the story, as I've said to the church, is the same story all the time. It's just coming up with something that will make you go, oh, I never looked at it from that angle. And so this story of The Wizard of Oz that came to my mind, was, first of all, was when I was a kid, we didn't have VCRs, we didn't have DVD players. We had to wait for certain movies to come out. And The Wizard of Oz was one of the movies. It was an experience. And it usually came out between Thanksgiving and Christmas time. Thus, that's what came to mind as I was putting these messages together. But also what came to mind is, how do we love God? Jesus said there was two commandments, that he wants us to love other people. But the first thing is, we're supposed to love God. And we're supposed to do it with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so, when we're thinking about the scarecrow and his brain, we're thinking about loving with our mind properly. We're thinking about the tin man and his heart. Obviously, that lines up with heart. All right. And then the cowardly lion with courage or strength. And then tonight, I wanted to focus our attention on what Dorothy wanted. And Dorothy wanted home. She wanted to get back home. And so here's the scene after she has said, there's no place like home, and gets back, and the conversation that went on as the movie was wrapping up.
Wake up, honey.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
Gifts. There have been hundreds of wise men that showed up, and it threw Herod for a loop, and he's, because he wants to be king of the Jews, and they're talking, where is he that's born king of the Jews? Well, then he said to them, hey, when you find him, come back and tell me where he's at, and so that I can come and worship him. And basically, Herod doesn't want to worship him. Herod wants to kill him so bad that when they get, the wise men get warned in a dream that they, or they get warned in a dream, they actually go down to Egypt to get away. And Herod kills children, all sons, all the way up to the age of two in the town of Bethlehem. We come to this scene here, and it says this in verse 19. It says, but when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and took the child and his mother. By the way, in writing, at this time, you would never say the child and his mother. It would never be the case. It would always be the older person has the higher value, and then we work down to children. But you notice that the author is trying to get across the point. This baby, this child is crucial. This child is it, okay? And so he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene. Now, if you and I were to look in the Old Testament, there isn't a verse specifically that said that, but there are tons of verses in, like, Psalm 22 and Isaiah 49 about the fact that he would be around people that were low people, like Nazareth. And so he ends up being a Nazarene because God is trying to get across a thing. He's trying to get across the fact that when he came, he could have come to Jerusalem, he could have had this big sound system put in the sky in the area, this is this guy, and he did have with the angels to the shepherds, but he could have had arrows pointing, and the reality was he came to the lowest of the low. He comes to Nazareth. And we see here the verse in Luke 10, verse 27. We see, and he answered, this is how we're supposed to love God. You want to ask the question, how do I love God? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. God assumes we love ourselves. He assumes that. And so he wants us to love people like we love ourselves. So how do I love the Lord with all my soul? We love the Lord with all our soul by living a life of faithfulness to the Lord. Loving with our soul is all about devotion. The soul is our home. It's what defines us. The essence of the biblical definition of soul means life, personality, the inner self, and our identity. It's where we make our decisions and choices that ultimately decide our lifestyle behavior. Think of your soul as the core you. To love the Lord with all your soul means to love Him in the way we live, in the choices we make, in the behavior and lifestyle that we adopt. Point number one, if you want to take notes, there's a section in the bulletin you can write to me. Here's how I love God with my soul. I make godly choices. Our lives are the sum of the choices we make, plain and simple. Our choices show that we are what we're committed to, and they reflect our core values, defining us and displaying our lifestyle to others. We do what we value. If we treasure our relationship with the Lord, our choices will simply mirror that treasure. Choices flow from what we treasure most. And you know that. Think about what you think about. Think about what you watch. Think about what you listen to. It has an impact on how you live your life. So how do I spend my money? What do I do with my time? What do I do for entertainment? Where do I go for relaxation? It's all we want to feed our inner soul. And God says, here, guess what? I want that for you. But I want your soul. I want it. Number two, pursue obedience to His Word. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Love must be demonstrated. I could say all day to my wife, I love you, I love you, I love you. But if I don't act on that, I'm loving her with the remote in my hand. And it's always what I want. Tim, serve me. You know how long that lasts because you never know that. Right? I've been happily married, and I can say that, for over 31 years. In those 31 years, I want to make decisions based on love. Not just because I feel like making them. I do it anyways. I am obedient to that covenant that I made 31 years ago. I want to love her unconditionally, whether I feel like it or not. And that's what God wants from us too. Last point, point number three. Pursue humility in attitude and speech. Embracing humility is the stage where we express our love to the Lord. Jesus taught us how to love from a place of meekness, serving us unto death. There's a guy named Mike Bickle that said this: meekness is power and privilege under control. It speaks of restraint in the use of power, except to promote love. Meekness is not to be confused with weakness, which is the absence of strength. This meekness is expressed most in our attitude and the way we talk. What we say and how we say it enhances or quenches our ability to love the Lord by the power of the Spirit. Wrong speech will ultimately affect our spiritual lives and work against our love for the Lord. Look how Jesus confronts people in Matthew 12, verse 34. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In Proverbs 18, 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. So, this is how to love with our soul. So, there is no place like home. Hebrews 13, 14 says this: for this world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come. Just thinking about how this movie wraps itself up. It says, at the beginning of the film, we're going to sit and watch Wizard of Oz in the next few days. It says this: for nearly 40 years, and this is a movie that was made back in the 30s, for nearly 40 years, this story has given faithful service to the young at heart, and time has been powerless to put its kindly philosophy out of fashion. To those of you who have been faithful to it in return, and to the young at heart, we dedicate this picture. Why does a movie like that grab us? It's because down deep we know, I want to have a mind. I want to have a heart. I want to have courage. I want to have the proper soul. And all of those things come together. But isn't it great that it wasn't L. Frank Baum's idea? It was God's idea. How do I love God? I love Him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so my encouragement to you is, as you think about that, and there's no place like home, my encouragement to you is, as you think about all the beautiful things at this time of the year, and you're looking at family and friends and things going on, realize here we've got that as a beautiful thing. But even in glory, it's going to be even a greater thing. And let me ask you tonight, do you know that you know that that is your ultimate destiny? That's your home. And if you don't, please don't hesitate to talk to the person that you invited you here tonight, somebody that you know. I know they know Jesus Christ. I know they have a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And nail that down today, because seriously, there's no place like home. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this good opportunity to be together. And we ask you that as we spend this time, as we're wrapping this up together, that Father, you be honored and blessed, and we get encouragement to one another. Thank you so much for this time of the year, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.